Morning. Today's daf and chulin schaf gimel. We are in a chaf beiz amud beiz. We are starting a little bit below the bottom by Rabbi Zera. It's about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the amud. You'll see that there is basically one theme to today's daf. By Rabbi Zera, Amar Alai Olam and Atarim Min Bnei Hayona. So a person makes a donation, a neder, and he commits himself to bringing either a before I get to the word either, he commits himself to bring a carbon ola, and it's either going to be from a Torah or from a ben yonah. Remember yesterday we learned in the Mishnah that a Torah and a ben yonah are mirror images of one another. As we are now approaching the end of the first parak of Chulin, so the Mishnayos are comparing and contrasting things that are mirror images of one another. We're going to go a little bit off course of the Masechta, just to cover these Mishnayos and to learn a little bit of Gemara on these Mishnayos as well. So yesterday's Mishnah, we talked about the Torah and the Ben Yonah, where they are mirror images of one another in the developmental stages of the birds. So they develop basically the same. They start off, obviously, hatching from the egg. Yesterday, the Gemara talked about at what point in time after they hatch can they be offered. But in other words, they hatch from the egg, and now they're in this immature stage. They're in this I'm using a comparison of human development, but they're in this childhood stage. And then what happens is that they enter into this adolescent stage. The adolescent stage by the birds is where the feathers start getting yellow. That's sihuv. And then what happens is that they fully mature into adulthood. And the adulthood is zahav, it's gold. So basically they go from no coloring to yellow to gold. And so in the stage where they're sihuv, so it's yellow. So what's the story? So we already know the Mishnah yesterday told us a very clear story, and that is it's no good. No good for either. The Ben Yonah has to be coming from the immature bird. The Tor has to be coming from the adult bird. And if you have either of the birds being brought in this middle stage of Tzihuv, so it's no good. The Mishnah said it yesterday, the Mishnah Chav Beis Amad Aleph, the Tchilas at Tzihuv, Bezeu Bezeu Pasol. That if you are in Tzihuv, if you're in adolescence for the birds, so then you are no good. You're as a Ben Yonah, you're too old. And as a Tor, you're too young. Good. That's what we learned yesterday. The question, which we're going to just keep asking again and again, just using different contexts, is what does that mean in the middle stage? Does that mean the middle stage is a separate stage? It's its own independent stage? Or does that mean that the middle stage is we don't know? It's like Bein HaShemashos. We don't know. Could be the day, could be the night, could be immaturity, could be maturity. We simply don't know. So is it a state of Suffolk or is it a state of a Birya Bifnei Atzma? It's its own separate stage. It's the question. It's a common question of the Gemara. We're familiar with these kinds of questions throughout Shas. Today is just simply a prototypical day of asking these types of questions of what is this middle stage? How do we look at the middle stage?
It makes a difference.
So now let's see Rabbi Zera's question, because that's exactly what Rabbi Zera is asking. A person commits himself to bring an ola, either from a Torah or from a Ben Yonah. Now what he does is he brings two birds. They're both in the middle stage of adolescence. One is a Tor, the other one's a Ben Yonah. And so now, Mahu. So now this is going to play out. Now, there is a question in terms of what exactly the Kohen's going to do. Because the person himself is only committing himself to, presumably, one bird. And now the Kohen's going to bring the second bird also? Okay. That becomes complicated from the Kohen standpoint. And you see the bottom Tosos where he discusses this at length. And, okay, good. It's a good question to bring up. But we're just going to be focusing on the key question of the Gemara. How do we look at that middle stage? So, Mahu, Sveika. Again, good. So, Sveika, Haviv and Nafik. So, is it now that it's just simply that this adolescent stage, this Sihuv stage, is simply we don't know? And because we don't know, so good. So, in this particular case, so we don't know, but Mimanovshach. Look, you brought the Torah, you brought the Ben Yonah. We don't know if it belongs to the section, to the category of immaturity. We don't know if it belongs to the development of maturity. But either way, we're covered. In other words, it's got to be one or the other. We just happen not to know. So because I brought that now both the Torah and the Ben Yonah in this middle stage, so one of them now we've hit the lottery on one of them. So O Dilma Birya Have, or the Gemara says, or no. Maybe this adolescent stage is really its own separate stage. It's a birya bifnei atzmo. We could use this expression over here, birya bifnei atzmo, literally over here. Literally, it's now its own independent stage. V'lo nafik, and therefore, it's no good. Meaning it's no good, it's categorically no good. It doesn't belong to a immature stage. It doesn't belong to the mature stage, and therefore it's simply no good. I'm Rav Tashma, so Rav says, I know the answer. Because consider now the following. Because remember, in the Braisa that we learned yesterday, so what we did is we used psukim in order to exclude this middle stage. Now, Iyamar Bishlam Abir Yahavi Shapir. So the Gemara says, look, I certainly understand that if it's own separate category, so the drushas make sense. But Ela Iyamar Tzveik Ahave. So the Gemara says, but let's say that it's just simply, look, there is no third category. We just don't know. It's a lack of our yediyah. So the Gemara says, "Ha itzurich kara lemu'utei sveika." So here comes a really important and fundamental question of the Gemara, which is, look, the fact of the matter is that there are really only two stages, the stage of immaturity and the stage of maturity. When the birds enter into this yellowing of the feathers, so it happens to be now we don't know. But we don't know just simply means we don't know. It's one or the two. So now itzurich kara lemu'utei sveika. So now I need a drusha in order to exclude a suffix. Suffix already is excluded without the drusha. We simply don't know. So the Gemara says, so it can't be that there are only two options, and we simply don't know where this middle stage lies, because if that were the case, we don't need a drusha, and we don't need a pasuk. The pasuk clearly is indicative of the fact that it really is its own separate category, and the Torah has to exclude it. That's what seems to be indicated by the fact that the Bryce yesterday learned it out based on Pesukim. To which the Gemara says, as now we turn to the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, well, here's what we could do. Ki yitzarich kara lemu'utei nirva v'nevad. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I can make the following argument, and that is that yes, there's a drasha, but the drasha is not there to exclude the middle category, this adolescent stage of bird development, but rather really what the drasha is doing is teaching me a halacha altogether different. Now, it is a little bit interesting. Tosfos already raises this as an issue, meaning the Braisa yesterday is telling us how to learn the drasha, and what the Gemara now is suggesting is, we're not going to use that pasuk for that drasha, even though the Braisa says it, but we're going to use it for another drasha. Like, how can the Gemara do that? How can the Gemara just simply take the words of the Braisa, which clearly are applying the pasuk to one drasha, and just simply moving it over to another drasha? Okay, Tosfos, it's a simple question, it's an obvious question. Tosfos is bothered by that, but in any event. Let's say a bird was involved either as nirva. Now Rashi points out over here, when it comes to a bird cannot be rovea, just anatomically. The bird does not have the ability to sodomize a person, but the bird can be the passive recipient of revia, of bestiality, and so therefore if a bird is involved in that, or nevad, or if the bird is involved in avodah zarah, being the object of worship, in either of these circumstances, the bird is going to be pasul agabe mizbeach. Now these are general categories of psulei hamizbeach, meaning if you have an animal in general that's either worshipped or involved in bestiality, so they're going to be disqualified for the mizbeach. Why do I need a special drasha as it relates to birds, that a bird, if involved in either of these activities, cannot be used as a karban? The Gemara goes on to explain.
How would a kohen know that?
Well, you're right. Generally, we assume that not. But in other words, but if we know that the bird was involved, so then the bird is going to be disqualified. The Gemara goes on to explain. So we know that the Torah in Parsha Semer tells us about all the mumim of an animal. And the Torah over there says that they're mashchis. And so, and the Gemara goes on to explain, V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, kol makom shenemar hashchata eino ela, dvar erva v'avodas kochavim. So when you see the word mashchis, that's code of the Torah, and that's speaking to, it's alluding to both avodah zarah and Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos as it relates to animals. So dvar erva dechsiv ki ishchis kol basar zdar kol haaretz. So as far as where in the Torah do we see that the word hashchata applies to Gilui Arayos? So by the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was involved in, actually, really there are two avodas. They were involved in Gezel, and they were also involved in Gilui Arayos. But our assumption, of course, now is that we are focusing on the Gilui Arayos. The Torah says, ki shchis kol basar is darko al haaretz. That's kol basar, that's a reference to Gilui Arayos. So fine. So that's a clear indication that hashchata is in reference to Gilui Arayos. It's also in reference to avodah zarah. Avodas kochavim dechzi pentashchisam v'asisam lachem pesel. So the pasuk in Parshas Devarim describing where we made the egel hazav and using the words hashchata. Fine. So the word hashchata is both in reference to Gilui Arayos and avodah zarah, and therefore it constitutes a mum, either one of them. So now that we know that the word hashchata is in reference to a mum, so that means that if an animal was involved in either of these activities, Gilui Arayos or Avodah Zarah, Meaning, and by the way, for Avodah Zarah, meaning the animal is the object of the Avodah Zarah, so therefore it's the moment cannot be offered on the Mizbech. Kol she'en mamposo bo, davar ever avodah avodah z'kachav v'psulam bo, v'chol she'en mamposo bo, ein davar ever avodah z'kachav v'psulam bo. So now the Gemara explains, but wait one second, but let's think about it. Avodah Zarah and Gilu Arayos are really a function of mum. And that means as follows. We know that when it comes to birds, so the criteria of a bird, vis-a-vis what blemish will disqualify it, so that it can't be offered as a karban, is really low. The birds have really are almost subject to no mumim, no physical blemishes, which will disqualify it for the mizbeach. We have a rule: hani ofos ho'ava lo possible mumma damar mar tamas v'zachrus bebehema ve'in tamas v'zachrus ba'ofos. We know that when an animal is being offered as an ola, so there has to be a male requirement. In other words, the animal has to be male. And additional to that is that the animal cannot have a mum. And see the Gemara in Bechoros, see the Parsha in Parsha Samur, see the Gemara in Bechoros that goes in details exactly what all the physical blemishes are. So that are all the criteria, the benchmarks of what is an animal that cannot be offered on the Mizbech. But when it comes to birds, so we don't have Thomas, we don't have Zachros. So there is no male requirement, which we've noted numerous times. Simply anatomically, it's you know, unless you're an expert, you cannot tell the difference in birds between male and female. So and by a carbon, there's no need to identify whether the bird is male or female. And on top of that, there's no tumus. There is no mum disqualification when it comes to birds. Yes, it's true by birds, there's something called mechusrei aver, that if the bird is missing an entire limb, it cannot be offered as a karban. But all the subtle physical blemishes that would disqualify an animal do not disqualify a bird. So now we can make a very good argument, a strong argument. If avodah zarah and gilu arayos is a function of mum, and a bird is not subject to a mum, so you can make a really good argument that a bird is also not going to be subject to the disqualifications of Gilu Arayos and Avodah Zarah. And so therefore, if a bird is involved in Gilu Arayos and Avodah Zarah, had we not had any additional drasha, I would have said that the bird would be qualified to be offered as a karban. And that's why now I need an additional drasha to tell me that if a bird, kamash malan, if a bird is now involved in either Avodah Zarah or Gilu Arayos, so then the bird cannot be used as a karban. That's what the drasha is really coming to teach me. Nothing to do with that middle stage of tzihuv, and okay. And so therefore what we could do is we could reassign the drasha of the Torah. Yeah.
How can a bird be subject to Avodah Zarah? The moon can't be. None of these objects. How can a bird?
In other words, it's an object of Avodah Zarah. Somebody worshipped it. And not just somebody, the owner.
Like it's a live object. Yeah.
Good. So in terms of other halachas like tum and tahara won't affect a live animal. But in other words, but if somebody worships his animal, that animal now is takrovis of avodah zarah. It's not even takrovis. It's a chevtzah shel avodah zarah. It's avodah zarah, but it has to be yours though. You're right. In other words, I can't do it to somebody else's. Ein adam osu davar she'eino shelo. Okay. All right. So that was question number one of the day. So it's going to be consistency in today's daf. Here we go. For number one today, we ask the question, when we have this middle stage of bird development where the bird is now just starting to yellow in its feathering, where it's an adolescent stage, and we know clearly that it's no longer in the category of a benyona, we also know clearly that it's not yet in the category of tur. So now the question on the table is that just simply a chisar yedia, meaning it belongs to one of those two, we just don't know which one, and so therefore that's why it's disqualified? Or more fundamentally, it's a birya b'fnei atzmo, it's its own separate category, and so therefore it's fundamentally going to be disqualified. Gemara discussed. The Gemara left the question unresolved. Here we go now, question number two of today's daf. It's all going to be the same theme. By Rabbi Zerah, hama harei alai olas behema, mina ayol, o mina kefis. A person commits himself to bring a carbon ola, either from a ram or from a sheep, behevi palgas, and what he does is he brings palgas. So mahu. So what would be the halacha? Now, palgas is what? And first of all, before we get to palgas, what's an ayil? An ayil is a two-year-old. What's a keves? A keves is a one-year-old. What's palgas? Somewhere between a one-year-old and a two-year-old. Now, I know it's a little bit hard to understand. How can you be between one and two? Okay, so good. So good. So you've been here long enough. You know, so there is a stage, the 13th month. So generally speaking, we describe it as the 13th month. In other words, so it's left the first year, it's not fully entered into the second year. Only after it's completed its 13th month now do we say that it entered into its second year. And so the 13th month of this animal, so it's no longer kephis, but it's not yet an ayal. It is now, great word to describe it, palgas, probably from the word plag, right? Plaga mincha. In other words, we're somewhere in the middle. It's halbusha. It's somewhere. It's mid development. And so now, is this palgas going to satisfy your obligation? You said either one of the two. You said either kevis or ayil, and now you offer the palgas. And once again, it's the same question. If the palgas is one of the two, we just don't know. So okay, fine. So in general, we don't know, and that creates a problem. But in this particular case, you said either one of the two. You brought the palgas. It does belong to one of the two, so you're good. On the other hand, if you if it's a separate independent category, so you lost on both sides. So it's not a kevis. It's not an aisle. It's its own separate category, and so therefore, for sure, it's no good. Meaning you didn't satisfy your neder, so good. Now over here, the question gets a little bit more tricky. It's a little bit more detailed because there's just a little bit more information that we need to know. Aliba de Rav Yochanan loti balach damar bir yahave did not. Now we know that according to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan's viewpoint about the pagas is that it's own separate category. We know that. How do we know that? So what we do is we take a Mishnah with the statement of Rav Yochanan, we put the two together. We know that he views it as its independent category. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah in Masechta Para, Hikrivo mevi alav nischei ayil, ve'ein olalo mizivcha. So if he offer it, so what you do is you bring the nesachim of an ayil. So we all know that as a complement to a carbon that you bring, so you have to bring the nesachim together with it. What are the nesachim made of? So we already spent a good amount of time at the end of Masechta Menachos talking about the nesachim. So it's going to be flour mixed together with oil, as it's almost like mincha-like, but of course the obvious difference is that a mincha, only part of the mincha goes up onto the mizbech. When it comes to nesachim, it goes onto the mizbech in its entirety. Consistency-wise, it is much looser than that of a standard mincha. There's a lot more oil that goes into it. And wine. Wine which also goes up onto the mizbech, but is poured down one of the pipes of the mizbech. So it's flour, oil, and wine. How much flour, oil, and wine? That's going to be dependent on the size of the animal that's being brought. There are basically three sizes of animals: small, medium, and large. So the small is the kevis, the medium is the ayil, and the large is the bakar. And so the amount of flour and oil and wine is going to be contingent on the kind of animal that's brought. The Mishnah over there describes that if a person were to be bringing a palgas, so what you're going to bring in terms of the nesachim is the nesachim of an ayil. So in other words, that's the Mishnah in Para. And on the Mishnah, Vamar Rav Yochanan, O la'ayil rabas is a palgas. And Rav Yochanan says, and how do I know that? Meaning, what's the source that if you're bringing the palgas, the nesachim amounts that you're going to bring are going to be commensurate to that of an ayil? So Rav Yochanan says it's a drasha. The pasuk says in Parshas Nesachim. Parshas Nesachim, by the way, is tucked away in Parshas Shlach. So the parsha of Nesachim tells us O la'ayil. The O is a ribui, and Rav Yochanan says yeah, and it's coming to be marred by the palgas. And as Rashi over here points out, if you're using the drasha to include a palgas, what does that mean? It must mean that it's its own fundamental category, it's its own separate category, and so therefore we're able to tease it out of a drasha. So good. So according to Rav Yochanan, I know that the palgas is a beria b'fnasma, it's its own separate category, and so the question doesn't even get off the ground. However, ki divalach liba de bar pada, but the question now becomes a question according to the opinion of bar pada de amar, maisi umasne. We know that according to Bar Pada, in the event that you offer a palgas as a karban, and now you want to bring the nesachim, so what do? You bring the nesachim with a tanai. Now the tanai is basically going to say, look, this palgas that I brought, is it an ayil? I don't know. Is it a kevis? I don't know. So what you're going to do is you're going to stipulate. And Rashi goes through the details in terms of, it's going to be a little bit tricky because the amounts, in other words, you're going to be bringing enough for an ayil, but you may not need that full amount. So then what you're going to do is, if I need all this, so then I'll bring the amount for an aisle. But if I don't need all this, some of it will be for my neder. Some of it will be its own separate neder and nedava. A person can bring nesachim independently as its own separate neder and nedava. Okay, good. So what you do is you make it tonight says Bar Pada. Now, the simple reading of Bar Pada is, what is a Pagas? Well, I don't know. It could be an aisle, it could be a kevis, and so therefore when I bring its Nesachim, I'll just simply make it tonight. So the simple reading of Bar Pada is, it's something, and I say something, it's either an aisle or it's a kevis, we just happen not to know. That's a simple reading. But what the Gemara now is entertaining is, well, maybe according to Bar Pada, part of his Tanai is actually a third possibility. One possibility is it's an aisle, second possibility is the kevis, and what's the third possibility? Birya bifnei atzmo. Maybe it's its own separate category. So mi amrin an aisle v'kevis masna bibirya lo masna, o dilma bibirya nami masna. Da amar ibirya havet lahavet kula nedava. So good. And that now becomes exactly the question of Bar Pada. Maybe it's its own separate category, in addition to either being either an aisle or a kevis. Take us, so the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So, our second question of the day, the Pagas, which is somewhere between a kevis and an aisle. Is it birya bifnei atzma, or is its own separate category? And in this question, so the answer is, it depends who you hold. Like if you hold like Rav Yochanan, it for sure is birya bifnei atzma. If you hold by Bar Pada, maybe. It may be a birya bifnei atzma, it may not be. And the Gemara says, and I don't know. I don't know according to Bar Pada. By Rabbi Zera HaOmer, Harei Alai Lach Metoda, Min HaChametz O Min HaMatzah. Let's say a person commits himself to bring Lach Metoda. He wants to just bring the bread of the Toda. And he says, I'm either going to bring either the Chametz or the Matzah. So he's committing himself to bring some of the loaves of the Toda, and it's either going to be Chametz or Matzah, Vehevi Si'ur Mahu. So the Gemara says, and now he commits himself to bring Si'ur, what would in fact be the Halacha over here. And once again, here we are, same theme, perfectly fitting into the rest of what we're learning this morning. What is Si'ur? We know like this. When you make a dough, so you mix flour and water together, so fermentation begins. But fermentation takes a while. It's a process. And so at first, obviously, it is not chametz. It's matzah. When the flour and the water get mixed together, right now at this point in time, it's matzah. And obviously the objective is if you only want matzah and you don't want chametz, you bake it now. And that obviously stops the fermentation process and good. On the other hand, if you let it sit there, eventually what's going to happen is fermentation will occur. And so it's going to become chametz. Okay, but in the process of going from matzah into chametz, so what happens is there's this middle stage. What is the middle stage called? It's called si'or. Now si'or, by the way, not to be confused with the word sa'or. Sa'or is a leavening agent. Si'or is talking about the dough that exists somewhere between matzah and chametz. So here we are now in the development from matzah into chametz, where we have this middle stage of si'or. And so now, if a person is trying to commit himself to bringing lach metoda, either the chametz or the matzah, so then what he's going to do is and he brings the si'ur, and look, it's either chametz or it's matzah. So again, the question is going to be the same question that we're asking. Is si'ur now somewhere in the middle? Is it like an independent category? And so therefore it's neither? Or no, maybe it's one of the two, we just don't know. But in this particular case, you committed to either one of the two, so you should be fine.
But don't we know that the 18 minutes?
Leave 18 minutes.
How is that in the middle stage? When?
No, leave 18 minutes out of it. No, 18 minutes is...
So what time? What's the time?
When do we know it's hit the point of si'ur?
Right.
Good, I'm happy you asked. That question I'm going to address. Okay, good. Now, it's going to get a little bit complicated in just a moment. Well, it's already complicated because we're going to have to define what si'ur is, and there's a machlokas tanaim, exactly what si'ur is, so that's one complication. And another complication is, and the Gemara is going to make this point, is that if a person commits himself to lach metoda, that means that he's obligated to bring the entire carbon toda. So if he brings something which is si'ur, and it's somewhere in the middle, and we don't know what it is, so okay, but he's got to bring all 40 loaves, and he's got to know what the 40 loaves are, so it gets complicated. But we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, right now, the one thing that we have to just identify and define is what is si'ur. So over here, let's take a look at Rashi together, because Rashi gives us the requisite information that we need to know just so that we understand the discussion taking place in the Gemara coming up. Si'ur says, Rashi, shi'yatza mechla matzah v'lechla chametz laba. So again, now it's in this tweener stage, intermediate stage between matzah and chametz, and Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, pligi be'elu ovrim. I'm in Rashi right now. I'm reading the Rashi. Rashi here is giving us the basic information. So first and foremost, Rashi says, open up a Gemara Pesachim, where the Gemara there actually tells us the machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, what exactly is Siyur. L'Rav Meir HaVisir b'hachsafas panim, v'afilu ein sham sedak. So what happens now to the dough as it moves from matzah into chametz? The fermenting process basically takes on two different steps. Step number one is that the dough starts blanching. It starts getting whiter. And step number two is that it starts cracking as it starts fermenting and expanding. So there is a whitening, and then there's a cracking. So Rashi goes on to explain, L'remer ha'vistir b'achsafas panim. So first of all, according to Rav Meir, when does it hit the point of seer? When does it enter this tweener stage of seer? So that's when it starts whining. V'afilu ein sham sedak, and even if there's no cracks. V'in misdak ha'afilu kekarnich ha'gavim, mikrei siduk v'chayev kares. Now once it starts cracking, according to Rav Meir, it is chametz. Even if the cracking is not a lot, the Gemara's description over there is kekarnich ha'gavim. It looks like the legs are grasshoppers, basically. A couple cracks running through the dough. According to Rav Meir, mamish is chametz gamur. V'sir b'achsafas panim amrinim b'reishe lo ovrim, de Rav Meir chayev malkus. Now, if a person were to eat seer on Pesach, so according to Rav Meir, a person is subject to the malkus penalty. Rav Yehuda islay trei kule. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, so there are two kulas for Rav Yehuda. One, explains Rashi, is the definition of seer. First and foremost, according to Rav Yehuda, if it starts whitening, it's not even entered into this middle stage yet of seer. It's still at this point in time matzah gamor. That's kula number one according to Rav Yehuda. Only when it starts cracking, according to Rav Yehuda, is it in fact seer. V'od kula achrita dekarilei l'Rav Yehuda seer lo mechayev alav malkus. Additional to that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you eat the seer on Pesach, you're not going to be subject to malkus. It's a little bit interesting, slightly confusing. Meaning, is it chametz? Yeah. Are you subject to malkus? No. Okay. And so, where are we halachically? Okay, a little bit confused. But for our purposes right now, just facts on the table. In terms of this tweener stage between matzah and chametz, it's called seer. In terms of the definition of seer, machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir is more machmer, Rav Yehuda is more mekel. Rav Meir says that seer already is when it starts whitening, which is step one in this developmental process from matzah into chametz. And according to Rav Meir, if a person were to eat seer, he'd be subject to malchus. It's chametz kamor, subject to malchus. And according to Rav Yehuda, two kulas explains Rashi. One is that it only is seer when it starts cracking. And two, even at that point, now it's in this middle stage, if one were to eat it, he would not be subject to malchus. Good. I'm not here to present the because. There's a middle stage in the process, in the developmental stages, moving from matzah into chametz. So we have a machlokas in terms of definition, we have a machlokas in terms of penalty. Good. That's what's on the table right now. So over here, this person commits himself to bringing one of the loaves of the carbon toda. Could be chametz, could be matzah, he doesn't really care. And now what does he do? He brings seor. And so now, once again, it's the same question that we've been asking all morning. Are we now basically giving ourselves are we creating a middle category independent of this extreme and that extreme? Or is it just simply belongs to one of the two and we don't know? And again, it's the same question. The Gemara goes and presents. Odilma b'riyahu v'lo nafik. I'm sorry. So min amatzav ehevi seer. So mahu. So the Gemara says seer daman. So the Gemara says, okay, but now that we're equipped with all this good information that we just went through, so we have to ask the question. Well, who are we holding like? And isir de Rav Meir li Rav Yehuda matzav al yasehi. Well, if you're talking about Rav Meir's definition of seer, and you turn to Rav Yehuda and said, hey, You see that dough? It's starting to whiten. What do you think? Rav Yehuda will tell you, as far as I'm concerned, matzah, mamash matzah. And neither Rav Yehuda or Rav Meir chametzu. And now, if you ask Rav Meir, you see it starts cracking. All right, that's Rav Yehuda's seer, definition of seer. What do you think, Rav Meir? Rav Meir will tell you, what do I think? I think it's chametz gamur. So, v'idra Rav Meir l'Rav Meir midalaki ala chametzu. Now, if you ask Rav Meir, well, what if, let's say, it starts whitening, and now what? And you eat it. Well, Rav Meir will say, well, I hold it seer, but I also hold it subject to malchus. So you know what that must mean? It must mean that it's chametz. It's mamash chametz. So according to Rav Meir, there's not even a discussion to be had about a tweener stage. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, once it hits the points of seer, and once you're getting malchus, that means it's chametz. So that means, according to Rav Meir, there really are only two stages. So the question doesn't even get off the ground, according to Rav Meir. So basically what we've done is we've just sharpened the question. The question is only based on Rav Yehuda's definition of Seor, according to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, in terms of the penalty. That's the question. That can only be the question. Elad Rav Yehuda le Rav Yehuda mai. So now, we are talking about definitionally Rav Yehuda Seor, which means that it starts cracking, and we're talking about also based on the punishment of Rav Yehuda, which is, according to Rav Yehuda, the punishment would be no Malkus. So according to Rav Yehuda, now we have something in the middle between Chametz and Matzah. So mai. Sveik avya v'nafik miman of shechu dilma birya havi v'lo nafik. So the Gemara says, so now the lum just kicks right in. So according to Rav Yehuda, this seor, is it, we don't know, meaning it's chametz or it's matzah. We just happen not to know which one. Fine, that's one possibility. Or according to Rav Yehuda, no, seor mamish is a birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own independent stage. It's literally a middle category existing on the spectrum somewhere between chametz and matzah, but it's a birya b'fnei atzma. And therefore, if a person wants to use this loaf of seor to satisfy either chametz or matzah, it's lose-lose. You did not get either one. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the lumdus. We're really done for the day. We're not done for the day, but in other words, that's the question. It really conforms, fits in beautifully to the entire theme of today's daf. However, now the Gemara just wants to deal with the technical issues. And the technical issues is, what's the case exactly? A person commits himself to bring lachmei toda. The Gemara says it doesn't work. The whole case doesn't work. When a person commits himself to lachmei toda, so that basically means that he's fully committed to bring an entire carbon toda with its complementary 40 loaves of bread. And v'kevin dechayv le'betoda v'lachma halo yada haigavra ichametzu delesi matzo matzuhu delesi chametz. So the Gemara says, and now this person now has to bring the animal carbon toda. He also has to bring the 40 complementary loaves of bread. He brings seor. Listen, your question is wonderful. I love the question. It's not going to help him. Meaning this person now brought the seer, great. And let's even say that it's not a birya b'fnei atzma. It's not in its own separate category. Let's say it belongs to one of the two, and we don't know. So if we don't know, so how does any of this help him? So now, I know I have to bring 10 loaves of chametz. I know I got to bring 30 loaves of matzah. I just brought the seer in. Do you know what it is? Neither do I. I also don't know what it is. And so therefore, how did it help him? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. It's a technical issue, but it's a good technical issue. Meaning we really don't even understand how this is going to help him. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha d'amar harei alei chala liftor toda sosha ploni. So the Gemara tries to fine-tune the question, well, maybe he's not bringing his own carbon toda. His friend is bringing a carbon toda, and he wants to help out his friend, so he offers him seor. To which the Gemara says, okay, but that's not much of a help. So, halo yada haigavri chametzu delaisi matzo, o imatza have delaisi chametz. Okay, great. So you now sponsored your friend, some of your friend's bread obligation by giving him the seor, but the helfnish, it's not going to help your friend. Your friend doesn't know whether what you gave him was matzo, whether you gave him his chametz, and he doesn't know how to supplement the rest of the loaves. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lo tzricha delo amar liftor. So mefe gavri yedei nidro, nafik, o lo nafik. So the Gemara says, well, he didn't say that he was going to use it in terms of helping out his friend. He just simply said he was going to offer it for his friend, but not to help out his friend. Mm-hmm. Not totally clear. I'm going to be fully open over here. I'm not totally clear how exactly this case is working, what exactly this person is trying to do in terms of offering a carbon. Rashi at the tail end of the entire sugya writes, I'll read the Rashi inside. Rashi writes at the end, Lo tzricha delo amar liftor harei ela harei ala yud chalos l'soda so shaploni. He just simply says that I'm committing myself to bring 10 loaves of his carbon toda, not mine. The kevin da amar l'toda so shaploni lo ichayev lebetoda v'lachma. So now, he didn't say lachme toda, so he's not obligated for an entire carbon toda with its lachem. Ela be'eser, just simply 10 loaves. V'ha v'adei pshita lan da'u ploni lo miftar b'hai si'ur. And we know for sure that the other person is not going to be able to use it for his own because we don't know whether it's chametz or whether it's matzah. V'yunami lo mekaba ala lemifterei. And he himself is not offering it in order to pater his friend. Ela la'asuyinu ba'alma. He just simply wants to give it. V'kasar v'shiyuch le'kariv im hamatzah shel chavero. And he just simply thought that he could bring it in addition to his friend's loaves. Again, I'm admitting, I'm not fully understanding exactly how this is working. But I do know that the Gemara is just simply bothered by the technical aspect of how is this going to help your Lachmei Todah? The answer is it isn't going to help your own Lachmei Todah. You're offering it for your friend, not to pot to your friend, but just simply to complement and supplement his Lachmei Todah. Okay, but in any event, that covers our daf today. Let's quickly recap. Today we basically asked three questions, all thematically the same. Number one, what becomes of the bird that's in the tweener stage of tzihuv, where the feathers start getting yellow? So the Mishnah taught us and the Braisa told us that it is not immature, but it's also not mature. It's what we would describe as human development, an adolescent stage. And again, the question is very simple. Is it either birya b'fnei atzma, it's its own separate category, neither immature nor mature, but just simply its own separate category, or suffix? And we don't know. We debated that issue. We then moved on to discuss the issue of palgas. When you are bringing a ram that is in its 13th month, so it's now categorically in its own separate stage, it's palgas, right? It's in the tweener stage, not a kevis, not an aisle. So again, same question. Birya b'fnei atzma, or simply we don't know. According to Rav Yochanan, it for sure is birya b'fnei atzma. According to Bar Pada, unclear. Teku leaves the Gemara as a question. Seor, our third question of the morning. When you have the fermentation process of chametz, and you're going from matzah to chametz, and as it's fermenting, so it goes into this middle stage. What the middle stage is, machlokas atanayim. But if you're in this middle stage, what then becomes halachically? Is it its own separate category, or is it one of the two? We just simply don't know. And in terms of fine-tuning the question, we noted that according to Rav Meir, the question never gets off the ground. His definition of seor is that it starts whitening. But if it starts whitening, according to Rav Meir, if you eat that on Pesach, if you're going to be subject to malchus, meaning it's chametz gamur. So for Rav Meir, the question never gets off the ground. The question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who definitionally describes it as karnei chagavim when it starts cracking. Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if one were to eat that in Pesach, it would not be subject to malchus. It's now literally a middle stage, but either we don't know, it's either chametz or matzah, we just simply don't know, or birya b'fnei atzma, it's its own separate stage. How would that help us halachically? What would be the nafkamina? A person commits himself to either lechem or matzah of somebody else's todah. Would that work? That would be the nafkamina.